Hey babies, this is going to be a little bit of a different episode from all the other ones. This one is going to be sort of a ASMR slash guided meditation sort of thing, except I won't be tapping on anything. I'll just be sort of talking in this, creaky, monotonous voice a la the Sleep With Me podcast, if you ever consume that podcast. Before we get to the main meat of the podcast, I just want to thank everyone who's been giving donations through Venmo, PayPal, and the Cash App. I am taking donations for all the emotional labor that I've been doing lately over at I'm Gabriel-Mayers, that's M-A-Y-E-R-S, and Gabriel is spelled like Gabriel. That's on Venmo. On PayPal, you can send it to the email address GabrielMayersNYC@gmail.com. And on the Cash App, you can just put the $ and Gabriel Mayers, and that'll get to me, and I'll respond to you, and it'll be very much appreciated. All right, here's our commercial break, and then we're just gonna kind of chill out for a nice while. All right, thanks for listening to that commercial break. Definitely appreciate my sponsors as they help, you know, put food in my belly while I'm creating things like this. So things have been sort of hectic on my end lately, and I won't talk too much about that, but I'm sure you guys know just how hectic life can get day in, day out. You're dealing with different things, and it can be easy to sort of get wrapped up in a certain pace, certain way of living. And it's important, I think, to work hard, of course, but to also be able to really step back. The first part of stepping back is taking a deep breath. Now, probably over 90% of you, if you took a deep breath right there, it's probably the type of deep breath that makes your shoulders raise and your chest puff out. What you want to do is take a diaphragmic breath. That's a breath that goes into your belly, so you're going to want to push the air down. Your diaphragm, you want to think of your lungs as an inverted cup where the open side is downward. That's about the shape of your lungs and your rib cage. And on the open end of that cup is stretched a piece of rubber, like a balloon skin, over the opening in that cup, and that would be your diaphragm. It's a muscle that actually sort of pulls down on your lungs to bring air in. Now, you also have a bunch of other muscles in your body designed to bring air in, but those ones are often overused, and the diaphragm is often underused. Now, deep diaphragmic breathing is pretty central to a lot of the Eastern philosophies. They're big on breathing deeply. India is all about breathing deeply. Not all of India, but, you know, the gurus and sages that come out of India. Excellent diaphragmic breathers. It's I think it's called pranayama, which is the various practices of breathing. I might be wrong on that term, or it might not be exactly that term, but if you Google pranayama, that'll give you some more information about these Indian practices of breathing. So let's try it again. Let's take another deep breath, but this time you want to keep your shoulders still, try to keep your chest still, and just aim for breathing deeply into the belly using the diaphragm. When you breathe out, you want to try to lengthen the exhale. Like, don't go quickly toward the end of the breath. You want to elongate that exhale, which will in turn elongate your inhale and slow your whole damn nervous system down, which is what we're really trying to do here. It's like I was saying, it's, you know, the world, it's a TikTok world, and it's going at a certain pace, and it wants to sweep you up in it. And being able to step back from that and really start to get inside yourself, starting to perceive inside yourself, there's a word, apperception, which we all know what perception means. It means perceiving things, looking outward or hearing or just sensing outward. But apperception means sensing inward, and that in most people is a very underdeveloped sense, the sense of apperception. So right now, by paying attention to our breath and how we're feeling inside our bodies, notice how I'm starting to use that hippie language and saying we, but I actually mean you, the person listening to this, because I'm not really breathing as well as I should be because I'm talking right now and recording a podcast. But you're hopefully this whole time breathing deeply into your belly and breathing out slowly and noticing the subtle change. Right now, you know, cortisol levels in your body are being lowered, serotonin is raising by just virtue of you slowing down. Now, you don't have to be slowed down forever. You can certainly get back to your life, get back to the normal pace of things from here. This doesn't equate to brain damage in that sense, but you are developing the skill of being able to, for lack of a better word, retreat inside yourself. And I think it's important to have that place of retreat. Even looking at the word retreat, it's retreat. It's like, oh, not only is it a treat, but it's a treat again. I missed it the first time. You can create a space of stillness inside yourself where even though things are raging about you, you can be the calm eye at the center of the storm. No pun intended on that for my Buddhist people. You can be the calm eye at the center of that storm. The calm eye that isn't blocking out experience. Like, for instance, I can hear cars honking on the busy street outside. I can hear the sound of the building that I'm in sort of emits a quiet hum from, you know, probably ventilation, probably just wind blowing through the spaces in the walls. Maybe there's some mice running around. I just heard, I think that was the heater, just clicked as the metal, as the molecules in the metal either contracted or expanded. You can allow all these sounds to come in without refusing any of them, but without holding on to them. And in a sense, you can do the same thing to your own thoughts. You can have a thought. You can have a thought that makes you panicked or worried or afraid or excited. And you can allow it to pass because you're not identifying with thoughts. Not at this moment. Maybe in the TikTok world, but this is a different time right now. This is a time of apperception. This is a time where you're looking inside yourself, feeling inside yourself, and especially feeling the quiet that's always there, that you always have access to. It's a gift. It's a gift that I think all living beings possess in some capacity. The stillness of space is inside us, is something I like to think. I think even animals have access to this silence and stillness and equanimity. That is part of our birthright. You don't have to give in to panic or stress or what time it is on the clock, the bills that have to be paid, especially the bills that have to be paid. I mean, meditation comes in handy when you have bills that have to be paid. And meditation is about trusting life. In the Bible, Jesus said something like, "Look at the birds and the flowers of the field. They don't spin and toil and worry. So are you any less cared for by life or by God? Are you really separate or different from a bird or a flower or a tree? I mean, if I was a bird, I would worry about eagles. But they don't seem to worry. I've never seen a worried bird. Or at least I haven't seen many worried birds. Never say never. That's Justin Bieber. I like to think of the breath as sort of a nice little candy, a nice little treat. I know I mentioned retreat before, but I'm going to revisit that topic again now. I remember going to church with my mother, and going to church with aunts, and going to church with my grandmother. And church is boring. And one of the highlights of this monotonous thing that you have to go through as a child is when you're usually a woman related to you would reach into her bag and pull out, you know, one of those strawberry candies, those strawberry hard candies with the gooey center in that foil, that red and green foil designed to look like a strawberry, like some, you know, commercial version of a strawberry anyway. And you'd unwrap it and you'd suck on this candy. And for a while, sucking on that candy would make the monotonous experience of sitting through church a little bit better, a little bit more tolerable. This is like your strawberry candy. I want you to see your breath as a little treat that you're giving yourself. Maybe hopefully you're lying down. Hopefully you're in a state of repose, lying or sitting. Maybe you're on a long airplane ride. Maybe you're completely sleeping right now. And in that case, I thank you for choosing this podcast as your sleep companion. But maybe you're at work also. Maybe you're on the bus, somewhere busy and active. Maybe you're smelling a bad smell. Maybe there's a lot of loud talking, someone being annoying, a dog barking, some unwanted stimulus. And what I have to offer you is maybe you don't have to let that stimulus stick to you. And what I have to offer you is maybe it's part of your birthright to allow sounds, things you're seeing, things you're feeling, things you're thinking, memories, visions, to simply pass through you. To simply allow them to come and allow them to fade and remain tucked inside yourself, having your little candy, having your little treat in the form of deep diaphragmic breaths. If you haven't taken a deep breath in a while, now's a good time to breathe right deep and slow into that belly. Have a good one. Have a good nosh of that candy. One of my favorite things to do is to notice my body's response to deep breathing. What you notice is tingles start shooting through your body. These are waves of electricity. Endocrine explosions happening just from starting to breathe deeply. There's a philosopher, thinker, a spiritual teacher that I studied for a long time, one of many that I studied, but Eckhart Tolle wrote the book The Power of Now. And I must have listened to the audiobook a billion times between watching various seminars that he puts on. This is the journey into yourself, into your real self. I'm not talking about the self that you put on the resume or the self that you advertise on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, or even the self that you advertise to your friends or your intimate partner, or even the self that you try to advertise to yourself in the mirror, but the deepest core of yourself, that little baby inside you, if you will, the truest, purest, most unfiltered part of yourself, which is peace, joy, calmness, love, all those happy feelings that you like feeling, but you only allow yourself to feel at certain times. Well, if you're new to meditation, this is going to be a new time that you allow yourself to feel those deep feelings of joy and peace and centeredness. And maybe you never allow yourself to feel those feelings. Maybe you're usually and always, as a rule, caught up in stress, caught up in thinking about something, caught up in worrying. To some people, if you're not worrying, you're not really living. You're wasting time. But today I say, let's waste time. Time is all you really have. In the second Matrix movie, which was a bad movie, it's really the first. It's all about the first Matrix. It's all about the first Matrix. The Merovingian says, how can you have time if you do not take it? And what I take from this is that it's possible to live a long life of, let's say, 80 or 90 or even 100 years and come up to the moment of death, where the body has simply used up all its energy, used up all its will to live. Look back and realize that you haven't even taken a moment to realize that you're alive. That you haven't even taken the time to realize the weight of this moment's passing. That you haven't taken the time to be here now. And again, you can always return to your worries. You can always return to thinking about paying the bills and thinking about your quest for fame and freedom and love and prominence. You can always get back to that. That'll always be there. But this is something new. This is where we're headed. This is the new mode of consciousness, where we are one with life and not opposed to it. Life isn't the days kicking by on your calendar. Life is this moment you're experiencing right now. And you can be out of the moment. You're welcome to it. You're welcome to drift off in thought if that's what you're doing. You're welcome to drift to sleep if that's what you want to do. You're welcome to put this podcast in the background and scroll through Instagram. You're welcome to drift. That's what form is here for. That's what things are here for us to have something to do. But in this podcast, I'm inviting you to, maybe for the first time ever, not do shit. to simply fucking sit there and enjoy still breathing, especially if you're black, especially if you're a man, especially if you're over the age of 16. Enjoy still breathing. Enjoy the stillness that's always there inside you. The stillness that you have, you have to have in order to sleep. If you think about the moments before you go to sleep, those are your most peaceful moments. Before consciousness has completely left you, before you go into the deep delta brainwave state of dreamless sleep, there's a state where you're the chillest you'll ever be. There's a state where new ideas and new feelings can come to you. This is called the alpha brainwave state. This is where we're moving to right now. This is where I'm helping you move to, hopefully, by talking all slow and creaky like this. Hopefully, I'm helping you stay somewhere in the upper alphas. We don't want to get too low in the alphas, because then you'll be past, you'll probably fall into delta and fall completely asleep. But in the alpha brainwave state, it's a state known to be more creative, more relaxed. It's a state where you're focused, but it's a relaxed focus. Our normal brainwave state on a day-to-day basis is the beta brainwave state. And this is the kind of state in which you'd solve a complicated math problem, or this is the kind of state probably a NASCAR driver would be in, versus if you're sort of, let's say you're stuck in traffic and you're driving just a measly 5 miles an hour, just sort of driving down a long straight highway. You don't even need to think about when you're getting off. You're just driving in your car, feeling the rumble of the engine underneath you, feeling the car slip slowly forward. You're aware, you're awake, but you're not quite active. And that's where we're trying to get to. Relaxed focus. From a place of relaxed focus, there's a lot you can do that's useful. Painting. Making music, writing poetry, think kissing even, caressing someone and really feeling it, especially feeling that release of dopamine, the release of serotonin, and all those other positive brain chemicals that come out when your body understands, oh, now is the time where I can relax. Now is the time where I can center in myself. And the cool thing about this state is you can always go deeper. Going back to the monks of India, or the sages of India, these are just some broke guys who've learned to chill out about it. They're not special. They're not any different than you. These amazing brainwave states that Tibetan monks are able to achieve are perfectly open to you. They're open to all of us. Even in our TikTok flipping through Instagram Western lives. Those brainwave states that Tibetan monks have made a career out of are our birthright, all of ours. Again, we're not really any different than a tree, than a bird, than a squirrel. And that's why it can be so calming to get out to nature. It's a reminder of our true selves. And you don't lose anything by going inside yourself. But you do tend to lose something by going too much into the world, by being too much of the world. There's this Buddhist thing where they say to be in the world, but not of the world. To be in the world, but not of the world. To really be yourself at all times. If you're a socially anxious person like me, you might easily get swept up in whatever feelings or ideas you think you might be perceiving from other people. This is the solution to that. To go inside yourself, check that stillness that's there, and learn to trust it more than whatever your head is telling you. The mind wants you to tame it. The mind is a... now I remember. Another teacher named Barry Long. That one's more of a deep cut. Barry Long once said, "The mind is magnificent." And by that, it's like a magnifying glass. It magnifies whatever's in it. It wants to focus on something. It wants to focus on something. It can't focus on nothing. It must focus on something. And that something can be your problems. That something can be a woman you're chasing, a man you're chasing. Fame, money, can be on a television show, or it can be on my voice. It can be on your breath. It can be on stillness inside yourself. And by training your mind to focus on the stillness inside yourself, to focus on the silence that's always around you. Don't forget, we're on a rock floating in space. And what is space? What is space other than ultimate stillness, ultimate silence? Space never left. Space doesn't start at the Earth's atmosphere. It starts inside you. Every molecule of your body is separated by a huge expanse of space. So it's in you. It can be in your thoughts. Space. But we're so accustomed to focusing on things, forms, ideas, feelings, content, that we forget this space and the peace that it can bring. Buddhism is in a lot of Eastern cultures, or maybe just a few, a preparation for death. preparation for the dissolution of the self. But here, we're finding death before death finds us. Here, we're not seeing death as an ending, but as a beginning. Die in this moment to everything that you were, everything that you knew, all your plans and ideas and the shapes and forms and thoughts and feelings that you associate with your life. Die to all of it. Because in a very real sense, they are not real. They are merely ideas in your head. There's so much ideas in your head that if you were to hit your head hard enough, you'd be a different person and you'd look at the world differently. I'm inviting you to do that today. Hopefully this will be your hard knock. You want to find that knock before that knock finds you. It was a common theme in the early 90s and the 80s, amnesia. The idea that someone could hit their head and forget who they were completely. And I think that's the most amazing idea. Some of my favorite films center around this idea that there's sort of another self lurking within yourself and that your personality is only a game that you're playing. Office Space is a great film. I think he actually gets hypnotized. Then he stops caring about his job, stops really worrying, and is able to engage in life in this fresh, free perspective. Fight Club is another one of my favorite movies, although a little bit of a different plot. Edward Norton plays a type A personality, a businessman, flying around the world, engaged in a job he doesn't like. But he's having a mental breakdown. Underneath that, he's becoming the breakout personality. Here's another deep cut philosopher for those of you who like to look shit up. There is a spiritual teacher, let's call him, named Jed McKenna. Not to be confused with Terence McKenna, the DMT scientist who proposed the stoned ape theory. The stoned ape theory is the one that the reason we humans became as smart as we were is because our ancient primate ancestors came down from the trees to find new food sources. And one of those food sources was the psilocybin mushroom, which allowed us to have one of the best eyesights in the animal kingdom and the largest prefrontal cortex in the animal kingdom. But Jed McKenna is a spiritual teacher who, in his books, is holding up the enlightened perspective for you to see. The enlightened perspective he also refers to as the breakout personality. He calls enlightenment abiding non-dual awareness. Our world is based on black and white, this or that, left or right, Democrat, Republican. But these are all just ideas. Man and woman, ideas. The yin and yang exist inside one another. What's outside the yin and the yang? What sort of consciousness composes the circle that surrounds the black and the white. Non-dual abiding awareness. In case this shit's getting a little too heady for you, let's just make it into, this shit does not fucking matter. That's our modern mantra. Another teacher you want to look up is Stuart Wilde. He's one of my favorites. This shit does not fucking matter. None of it. You're gonna die. And I know it's a scary thought. You know, you've been playing this game of Jenga for so long, you thought that it would last forever. Maybe you wanted it to last forever, but all games must end. Otherwise, they have no point. And it is just a game. And it really doesn't matter. And if you realize that, you can get better at playing it. But the more you get wrapped up into the game, the more you lose yourself, the more you lose that purity and that stillness. I used to play Monopoly with a friend who, when he was allowed to be banker, he would cheat and steal money from the bank. And he'd buy a bunch of property. You know, he'd laugh as he charged us triple rent for landing on his spaces. And he'd win the game. But at the end of the game, we'd simply pack up all the pieces, fold up the board, and put it back in the box. Arriving back at the same place we started. And so, did he really win the game? I'll let you answer that. Let's say it out loud if you haven't, even if it's just a whisper. None of this shit really fucking matters. And if your mind is offering thoughts of protest, feelings of panic, I have another mantra for you. This is from Stuart Wilde. No, this isn't from Stuart Wilde, sorry. This is from a different teacher, a different but also equally radical teacher, but not a spiritual one. This is the founder of NLP. NLP is short for neuro-linguistic programming. It's basically the type of language and ideas that have informed marketing and commercials for a long time now. Anyway, Richard Bandler suggested this mantra. When your mind is too active, shut the fuck up, 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 shut the fuck up. In case you're wanting something older, an older mantra. For 4 years, I chanted Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, which loosely translates from Sanskrit. I devote myself to the mystic law of cause and effect through sound. But I like shut the fuck up. If the mind is active, and chill the fuck out. If you're too emotionally disturbed. Just because I think this is a different time we live in. We're not in Mesopotamia. We're in the modern world. And it's might be more useful, I think, with our modern capacity to say something as shocking as, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up. Not in a mean way, but like a parent would do to a child. Calm, but forceful to the mind. Speak to your mind. Speak to your feelings. Shut the fuck up. Calm the fuck down. I am at peace. I can be at peace. Peace is my birthright. So shut the fuck up and calm the fuck down. I'm going to enjoy my candy now. We're getting close to the end of our guided meditation. If you've hung in there the whole time, I'm so glad you've joined me for this. If you're sleeping right now, I'm so glad you're sleeping to this. If you're distracted completely from this while you're scrolling through Instagram or doing something else, I'm so glad that some subconscious part of you is perhaps paying attention and catching a little bit of this vibe. Shut the fuck up. Calm the fuck down. None of this shit really matters. And it opens up a whole new world. It opens up a world of choice. It opens up a world where you no longer have to make excuses for your own compulsions. It opens up a world where you can truly be fearless. You know yourself. You've seen inside yourself. You can trust yourself. And so you have nothing to fear. Shut the fuck up. Calm the fuck down. None of this really matters. We're all going to die. In Fight Club. Fight Club's maybe the movie I've seen the most times. I've had the most replays on. In the scene where he burns Edward Norton's hand with the lie, he looks in the eye and he says, you have to know, not fear, but know that someday you are going to die. I believe I first saw that movie when I was about 16 years old. And that scene and that line and that concept has stuck with me throughout my entire life. I'm 33 now. And to me, it was important because it was maybe one of the first times I felt that someone was really telling me the truth, and a hard truth. Especially growing up in a Christian background, there heavily invested in the idea of a life after death where God is handing out snacks and drinks. And I'm not saying that isn't possible. I just don't know. No one can know. All we know from here is that this ends. the theme park closes at a certain point. But you have to know that it's going to close. You can't be afraid of that. You can't spend your whole life running from something that you know is coming. You have to know that you're going to die. You have to look inside yourself and find life there. Not on Instagram. Not on Netflix. Not in the State of the Union address. You have to find life inside you. And when you find life inside you, you'll also find death. Because those two things are ultimately connected. And once you are able to find life inside yourself, well, then you've mastered life. You don't need a degree. You don't need a high-paying job. You don't need a beautiful spouse. You don't need loving kids. You don't need adoring friends. You've mastered life by finding it inside yourself. Shut the fuck up. Calm the fuck down. None of this really fucking matters. Because we're all going to die. And that's not a bad thing. Believe it or not, this shit does get old after a while. No one wants a Stranger Things season 10. Eat your candy. When you live this way, life can be a miraculous unfolding rather than a burden or a constant chasing after something. There's nothing to chase. There is no out there, out there. You are perceiving the world through your inner self. But if you allow the world to muddy your inner self, if you don't let your still waters become clear, you will misperceive the world, you'll misperceive yourself, and you'll find yourself an old person, maybe, in your bed, dying, wondering where all the time had gone. The time is right now. The more moments you take, the more time you have. I've spelled it out pretty clear for you. The more you get caught up in television and advertising and consumerism and politics and relationships and family drama and baby mamas, the more time you lose. But the more you learn to stay checked in with yourself, I mean, you'll make it to 50 and feel like you've lived thousands of years compared to other people while still being very young. And it's because you actually take each moment and you savor it like that strawberry candy, rolling it over your tongue, not biting it, but just savoring it. It's called the present because it's a gift. Shut the fuck up. Calm the fuck down. None of this shit really matters because we're all going to die. Now eat your fucking candy. Breathe. Thank you. Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for listening to this first guided meditation podcast. Sorry about all the cursing. I really appreciate you listening. If you want more of these, reach out to me. I'm on Twitter and Instagram mostly. I'm at twitter.com/GabrielMayers. That's GabrielMayers. And I'm on Instagram at instagram.com/GabrielMayersNYC. Don't forget to subscribe on whatever you're listening on, and also rate and review me if you're on iTunes, or just share the podcast with your friends and your social network people. Thank you.